Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
Good to be back here with you.
Always good to be here on Sunday night.
Amen, brother.
Doing the stuff.
Yes.
And we've been doing kind of an interesting series. We call it The One New Man, but I always tell Steve, we've got to come up with a cooler name. But
you have to improve on Paul's
I got to look up the Greek words. But anyway, if you're familiar with The One New Man, it's, of course, the concept that's in Ephesians chapter 2, and it has to do with the fact that the enmity, the wall of partition between Jew and Gentile, was brought down by Jesus and by what Jesus did on the cross.
Right.
And it says, in his flesh, he brought that down because of his sacrifice. And so now we come together as one new man. And that's kind of been the basis of what we've been doing. And we're not going to summarize the other 4 or 5 or 12 shows or whatever it's been. But if you go to the website at giftofgraceministries.org, you can listen to them. And they're also out as podcasts. But last week we talked about how Paul compared this to a house that was being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And Christ was the cornerstone because he supports the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And as people prayed and worshiped together, the house grows into a holy temple. And this has really been, of course, the plan of salvation from the beginning, where it would be Jew and Gentile, all people, come to Messiah, filled with the Spirit, be in the house, which is prefigured by the temple. It's a place where God put his name. But then coming into one kingdom, which includes everybody in the world, and as they pray and worship together, the kingdom grows and grows and grows into a holy temple.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of, you know, the picture of the heavenly Jerusalem that you see in the book of Revelation coming down from the sky. And,
right.
You know, it's a huge city. And, of course, that's poetic and has imagery and so forth. But somebody figured out, if you look at those dimensions, it's about 1,500 cubic miles. So that's a big city in all three dimensions. But anyway, so
that is
yeah. So the thing too is, and this is part of the summary, the enmity between Jew and Gentile is broken down by the Jewish Messiah. But more importantly, the enmity between God and man is broken down by Yeshua the Messiah.
Exactly.
And the sacrifice on the cross makes both of those things possible. That's
right.
Bringing down walls, literally, between people and between us and him with a capital H.
Exactly.
And this is Paul's point in this chapter of Ephesians. And, you know, you kind of, you see too in Romans, which is probably my favorite book, how he talks about how the Gentiles being the wild olive branches are grafted in to the domestic olive branch. So now you have one tree.
Exactly.
Whereas before you had people in the covenant, you had people who weren't in the covenant, you had people who weren't necessarily holy, but were ritualistically clean,
mm-hmm.
and you had the vast, vast majority of people who were unclean, ritualistically impure, couldn't participate in the worship with the Jews.
Would have defiled the whole place.
Defile the whole place, and You can't always find a red heifer when you need one. But basically, now, the cross, because the important thing there, I think, is that he does this in his flesh,
mm-hmm.
brings down this wall of partition,
right.
which was the separation between the two, which was the law, which was the things given to the Jews that the Gentiles didn't have. And now in Christ and Yeshua the Messiah, this is brought down, so that we're all together in the kingdom as one new man.
One new man. Well, the redeeming work that Christ accomplishes on the cross by his passion, death, and resurrection reconciles all of creation
mm-hmm.
to God.
Mm-hmm.
And the division or the separation that was there between man and God from the, you know, from the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden is now, you know, that relationship is brought back together with God. We can fellowship with God.
That's right.
Through the blood of Messiah.
That's right.
Whereas before, we couldn't approach God.
Right.
We couldn't go into the Holy of Holies and be in the presence of the Lord.
Right.
Moses couldn't see his face.
Right.
You know, Moses asked, "Let me see your face." No, you'll die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nope, sorry, Moses, can't do it. You can see my back. Yeah, I can see my face.
Mm-hmm.
And just from seeing the back of God, he's radiant, you know. Mm-hmm. So this one new man that Paul is talking about from Jew and Gentile is really the restoration of what Jesus does on the cross that reconciles all of creation back to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it restores it. Yes. It restores the creation that God made.
Yeah. And it's done by him.
And in his plan, you know, we see the fulfillment of all the covenants culminated into the new and eternal covenant.
Yes.
Because God's plan unfolded over a course of time.
Yes.
And through those covenants, God gave the people instruction, you know, to walk with him. Mm-hmm. And to be a light to the nations.
Yeah.
And so hence there was that separation between the Jew and Gentile. Those who did not seek me and those who did not know me mm-hmm. would now seek me and would know me.
Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about tonight.
Oh,
but you know, this is too how, you know, as you're saying that, I was thinking about this the other night when I was putting some notes together, that this is how God shows his glory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the people were delivered from Egypt, they went from slavery to freedom. God delivered them. You know, it talks about by his strong right arm, they were delivered. They didn't do anything to deliver themselves.
Right.
They didn't have to get ready. They didn't have to train. They didn't have to do certain things. They didn't have to meditate for 14 years. Moses never had to go to some kind of a training session to learn how to move the people through the wilderness. God did it through his glory by his strong right arm.
Right.
You know, and he even says, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart
mm-hmm.
just to prove to everybody, including the Egyptians, that he's God and he is sovereignly doing this. It's not the people that are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The people are slaves. They're a mess.
Right.
But God is delivering them. And this is in the same way that, as you mentioned, the fall of Adam and Eve, which sets all this in motion
mm-hmm.
and curses us and curses the earth and curses the whole universe, essentially, to now the plan unfolds to make everything one and start to bring everything back the way it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And it's done in his glory. It's not done by anything that we're doing.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's really the Paschal mystery that, you know, and the Paschal, Paschal is really, you know, the Pesach, the Passover, the first Passover that God instructed the Israelites to, you know, take part of or eat. You know, when he, as you were talking about Pharaoh, I was thinking about that, is that first Passover in Egypt,
mm-hmm.
God says he's going to come in judgment over mm-hmm. the nation of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
He'll strike down the firstborn of every creature. But the blood on the doorpost saves all the Israelites because they were instructed to do so. And if any of them didn't do that, they were the firstborn of that house would be judgment would come upon them and they would die.
Protected by the blood.
Right. And so, you know, we've talked before about how when Moses lifted up the serpent on, you know, because the people were grumbling against they were tired of the food.
Yeah, tired of this manna. I probably would have done that too.
Isn't there another restaurant nearby? Geez. What about a deli?
Yeah, we'll put some peanut butter on this.
So when, you know, God tells Moses, you know, put the serpent up on the pole and raise it up, and if people look at him, at it, they'll live. They're not going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so too, you know, Jesus says, when the Son of Man is lifted up, I will draw all men to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've said before, we have to look upon the cross. We have to look upon the cross because each one of us has to choose for ourselves.
Yeah. And that's the key. Each individual has to do it.
Right. I mean, there are communal dimensions to worship and to the body of Christ and to this, you know, as we're talking about the body of Christ growing. But there's it's individually.
Yes.
We come before the Lord and make that repentance, that metanoia, to turn to Him and to follow Him.
Yeah.
And make that commitment to be His disciple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And be one new man and Messiah.
Yeah. So as surprising as it was, and it certainly was surprising to the Jews, you know, the Jewish believers who were known as the circumcision, as we've talked many times about Acts chapter 10, the story about Cornelius' house, that the uncircumcised believers get the Holy Spirit,
right,
along with the circumcised believers who say, hey, wait a minute, how come they're getting the two? Because they hadn't gotten their arms wrapped around this now,
right,
that Gentiles were going to be included.
Exactly.
Now, was it a surprise that Gentiles were going to be included? No, because my favorite major prophet, Isaiah, talked about this a lot. And
he did?
He did.
Ah.
And he was, of course, very well known by the Israelites. And he was very well known, of course, in the sense that his writings were read on a pretty regular basis in the synagogues, and to this day they are, except for chapters 52 and 53. Traditional synagogues never read those.
Right.
And you can read that for your homework, and you'll see why. But Isaiah, in many, we're going to go through some of these, and in many places he talks about Gentiles being included in the kingdom and how Gentiles are going to look to the Jewish Messiah for salvation. And let's have Steve read. We're going to start with, you know, one of the messianic titles of Jesus is that he's the son of David. And he's the king in the sense that David was king. But if you want to read Isaiah chapter 11, you got it there? Mm-hmm. He has 66 chapters, by the way. If you can, let's start by reading verse 1 and 2.
Okay. But a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud shall blossom. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and of understanding, a spirit of counsel and of strength, a spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord.
Yeah. Now, we know, of course, Jesse is David's father. King David's father was Jesse. So from the stump of Jesse, or the stem of Jesse, a branch is going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And on that branch, the Spirit, capital S, of the Lord is going to rest upon him, capital H. And it's a spirit of wisdom and understanding. In other words, this is going to be kind of a different person than all of Jesse's other sons.
Right.
Or than even David himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the Spirit's going to rest on him. He's going to have wisdom and understanding. He's going to have counsel and might. He's going to have knowledge and fear of the Lord. You know, these things all come from the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So this particular man is going to have this power of the Spirit over him from the stem of Jesse, the stump of Jesse. Now, here, this is a reference to Messiah being the son of David. But then the important part is, Steve, if you want to go down to verse 10 of that same chapter, Isaiah 11:10, this is what's really cool.
On that day, the root of Jesse set up as a signal for the peoples. Him the nations will seek out. His dwelling shall be glorious.
Woo. So from the root of Jesse is going to come somebody who's going to stand as an ensign, a banner, a signal. Different translations have different things. But let's use the word banner because that's cooler. The banner to the people. Now, remember, when the Bible talks about nations, it's talking about Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
And it says the nations will seek him. Gentiles are going to seek him. So whoever this is that comes from the root of Jesse, whoever this is that's going to be a banner to the people, the Gentiles are going to seek him. You know, Paul talks about this in Romans 15:12, where he says He will rise to rule over the Gentiles, and they will trust in him. Now, interestingly, if you remember when the people were in the wilderness, every tribe had a banner. Mm-hmm. And all the people went to where their banner was. So if you were in the tribe of Benjamin, and you went, you know, to Walmart, and you were coming back to the camp, you would look around at the banners and say, oh, there's the Benjamin people over there, so you would know where you belonged.
Right.
And each of the tribes camped in their own place. You can read this, you know, through all of Exodus and actually through the whole...
What if you went to a different camp?
Were
they forward you over to the, you know, you're over that, your tribe's over there.
Yeah, yeah.
The banners.
You could probably blend in, though.
You can just,
you know, mind your own business. Don't show anybody your ID. Okay. But, you know, this was where they belonged. To where they belonged. And, you know, it's, when he says he's a banner to his people, because of his connection to David, we have this even in Revelation 22:16, where he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So that connects him to King David. And then when he says he's a banner to his people, it's kind of like the bronze serpent that you mentioned earlier. You know, the banners were all lifted up so you knew where you had to go. The bronze serpent was lifted up so everybody could look at it and be saved from the poison of the serpents. And Jesus talked about this. And in the chapter where these Greeks go up to Philip and say, not me, the other one, they go up to Philip and say, we want to see Jesus. And Jesus has this unusual thing where he says something like, well, now I know my time is near. Because now here's people that want to come and see him. Here's Gentiles that want to come and see him. So he knows his time is near.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Philip's probably saying, wow, why do these Greeks want to see, you know, wait a minute, you guys, why do you want to see him? You know, you guys don't have anything to do with him. But they wanted to see it. And, you know, Jesus said when the banner's lifted up, when the Son of Man is lifted up, he draws all men to himself.
Right.
So all the people that are scattered, all the people that were wandering around somewhere are going to come toward the banner because mm-hmm. they're going to see where they belong,
right.
And it's the banner of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And all the scattered people, and we're all scattered people. You know, we're all in sin, we're all scattered people,
right.
But we're looking to the banner, we're looking to the serpent, we're looking to the pole, and you're saying, that's where I belong.
Yeah,
I can't find anything else that's going to help me, but I'm right. going to that banner.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh. Well, this will get you
break
to the,
already.
Right. This will get you to the banner.
Yes. We have to talk about Paul Wilbur coming to the Cleveland
and dancing.
Akron, Columbus area, too. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Blessed is the Lord, Baruch Adonai, Elohei Israel, Adonai, blessed is the Lord, Ruha Olam, Ruha Olam, praise his name, forever and again, Ruha Olam, Ruha Olam, blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel. Oh,
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That is an awesome song by our friend Paul Wilbur, along with going to wilburministries.com and ordering stuff. And you can order any of his CDs, and you're going to love it. It's the best example of messianic music, I think.
Yeah.
Sorry, Marty and Joel, but we think it's the best example.
Come on, Marty and Joel are pretty good.
They are. They're awesome. They're awesome. Marty gets us from Beechwood, you know. So. Yeah. But in the second weekend of October, Paul Wilbur is going to be here.
And in the Ohio area?
In the Ohio area. And, yeah, the Ohio, in the state of Ohio. Everywhere but Cincinnati. that's kind of an inside joke. We're going to be mailing Wilbur Ministries a map of Ohio as their Christmas present. But anyway, and you can come and join Stephen and I in some awesome stuff. Friday night, October 10th, he'll be at Tikvat Israel, which is in Lyndhurst at 1370 Richmond Road. That is a messianic congregation. Rabbi Eric Lakatos, you've probably heard on this show before. And Paul will be doing a praise concert Friday night starting at 7 o'clock, but I would suggest you get there early because I don't know where everybody's going to park, but he usually packs the place.
Yeah, it's usually standing room only.
Oh, yeah. And then Saturday morning, which is the usual service, it will be the Shabbat service. He will be doing music and preaching, and Rabbi Eric said he can do whatever he wants during the two-hour service or so. So that's at Tikvat Israel, 1370 Richmond Road, Friday night, Saturday morning. Then Saturday evening, we will be taking a caravan down to Lancaster, Ohio, to Fairfield Christian Center.
A caravan of camels?
No, a caravan of vans and cars.
Oh, okay.
And we will be there.
What's going to be down there?
I think from 7 to 9 at Fairfield Christian Center, which is a pretty cool church Paul goes to once or twice a year. Then we'll be hightailing it back to northern Ohio.
We're not going to Cincy?
No.
Okay.
And on Sunday morning, we will be at Grace Point Church in Lakewood with Pastor Mike Bartolone and his church. And that's right at the corner of Warren and Alger Roads in Avon. I think it's 1260 Warren Road. Mm-hmm. But we'll give you more information later. And that will be at 10 o'clock. And that place is really rocking, too, and the church is on the sanctuary is on the second floor, and when Paul's there, the building kind of vibrates.
Yeah.
And then Sunday night, we'll be heading down to Akron to River Church. I don't have the address in front of me. But Pastor Jack Urban, who's an awesome pastor, great friend, and very interested in the Hebrew roots of our faith, will be hosting him. It's going to be an awesome weekend. I'm going to need a vacation afterwards to pull myself together.
And we're going to log some miles.
Woo! Yes.
Travel miles. Yeah.
Yes. But anyway.
Okay. Anyway.
Back to Isaiah and banners. But no, seriously, if you've never seen Paul Wilbur or you've never been any place where there's been messianic praise and worship, this will be the perfect time for you to go. Perfect time. So, let's get back to Isaiah and Gentiles.
Your favorite major prophet.
Yeah.
Oh, my. So, as we ended the last segment, we were talking about, you know, finding this, the banner that we belong to.
Mm-hmm.
And the banner that we really belong to is Christ. And, you know, we mentioned about, as Jesus says, that when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And, you know, in the name of Jesus, there's forgiveness of our sins. And that's the central point of the good news of the gospel. You know, we're reconciled with God by the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, as Paul says, you know, what do we worship?
Yeah, we're a mess.
We're in vain. We worship
in vain.
We're
still a mess.
If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you know, every part of this has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The suffering, the death, the resurrection, and the descent of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So every part of this has to happen in order for Jesus to be the Messiah. Because
mm-hmm.
if any part of this doesn't happen, he's not the one.
Exactly.
So, everything does happen according to God's plan. Everything does is fulfilled as it was foretold of in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Isaiah, which is your favorite prophet.
66 chapter.
Is he a minor prophet or major?
Oh, major.
Major.
Big time.
How many books do you have to be to have a major prophet status?
I don't know. He's got 66.
66. So must be, yeah, okay.
I mean, come on. Some of them have 3-4 chapters.
Yeah, so minor prophets. Yeah. But anyway.
Some have one chapter.
Far different than major and minor chords.
Yeah. Oh,
so
that's another story.
That's another story. Yeah. Another show, another day. So, all right, let's get back. So all the people that are scattered, all the people that didn't look for him, who mm-hmm. didn't seek him, now
yeah.
find him.
Yeah.
And as you're saying, the Holy Spirit falls upon the Gentiles. We've talked about that many times.
Yeah.
And, you know, while some like to make distinctions between Jew and Gentile, in, you know, with the Holy Spirit, they receive it in the same measure. We receive mm-hmm. in the same measure.
Yeah.
So that's why Paul says there is no distinction.
Right.
There is no separation, because to the circumcised, they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and to the uncircumcised, well, they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
There is none.
Right.
Because now they're both brought into the fulfillment of what God planned and what Jesus talked about, that you're going to have life. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in worshiping with our brothers and sisters, I think culturally in our country, we have a lot of hyphenated identities. And I think that hyphenated identity has crept into a little bit of the church.
Yeah. Good point.
You know, we like to have hyphenated identities nowadays. You know, yeah. Italian American, Polish American, African American.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a believer in Messiah and you're baptized through the blood of Christ, mm-hmm. your nationality doesn't do you anything.
That's right.
In the plan of salvation.
That's right. And interestingly, you know, Paul emphasizes that this is done in his flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Without that sacrifice, none of this would be possible.
Right. So nothing of our own,
right,
of our own accord, can we earn this by?
Right.
And so, in the, you know, it comes to the place of growing and maturing in the Spirit and in the things of the kingdom of God, and not trying to stay in that old wineskin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus says, you know, you can't put new wine into an old wineskin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we can get stuck and say, well, but I like this over here. I'm comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit of God calls us to break out of that comfort zone, because yeah. God wants to renew us. He wants to transform our heart and our mind.
Right.
And he wants to make us a new creation. He wants to make us that one new man.
Mm-hmm.
Through the blood sacrifice of Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you have, and I just use the term Jewish believer, Messianic Jew. I mean, if you have Gentiles who say, oh, those are the Jewish believers over there. And if you have the Jewish believers over there saying, well, that's the Gentile church over there.
Mm-hmm.
That defeats the whole point, because the wall of partition has been taken down.
Yeah.
We're Jew and Gentile worshiping together as one new man. Because it's done in his flesh,
yeah.
And the enmity, the wall of partition, is broken down.
I mean, really, all the study that we do about Scripture, about Old Testament, New Testament, this, you know, the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross,
yeah.
The plan of salvation, it really should all culminate in an understanding that we're not two, but we're one.
That's right.
Because, you know, as we talked about several weeks ago about that being that ambassador for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people are like, well, I'm of Paul. I'm
yeah,
of Apollos.
Exactly.
You know, that Apollos guy, he preaches up a storm. But that Paul guy now, man, he's something else. You know,
yeah.
he's the real deal.
Yep.
But who are they ambassadors for?
Mm-hmm.
The same Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we fall into this. You know, we fall into the same, fall into the same rut, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
And this one new man that Paul is speaking of in Ephesians is so paramount to, I think, what God wants to accomplish through the sacrifice that Jesus made, that it is this building up of the whole church
mm-hmm.
into the bride of Christ,
mm-hmm.
and that it's radiant.
Exactly.
You know, that
it's a pure and spotless bride.
It's this beautiful bride that he's going to take for himself and be with for all of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just one person. It's not just,
you know, right. It's not just this church over here, that church over there.
There's going to be a multitude.
Yes.
And, you know, Book of Revelation says there's a multitude that nobody can count.
That's right. Jew and Gentile.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is, well, we did a whole series on divisions in the body, and there's unfortunately, you know, Stephen and I do a lot of work with Jewish believers, and I love Messianic Judaism, as anybody who knows me can tell you. But we have to be careful of making identities of, well, that's them and this is us, or mm-hmm. this is us and that's them, because we're going against this passage of Scripture that we've been basing these last few shows on.
I mean, our salvation isn't based on a movement.
Right.
Or an ideology.
Right.
Or a philosophy.
Yes.
Our salvation is based on the blood
yeah.
of Jesus.
Yeah. And we're thankful that God in his glory has delivered some of his covenant people
mm-hmm.
to Messiah. They've come to recognize their Messiah, and they join us as brothers and sisters in him.
Mm-hmm.
This is the true one new man.
Right.
You know, it's the tree, the walls come down, you know, all these good things.
Yeah.
And Isaiah just, actually, why don't you go, can you find chapter 40, verse 5? And get through a couple of more Isaiah verses here, because this is, you know, I always tell people, Jesus expected the people he talked to know the Scriptures. Because he commonly says, haven't you read? Haven't you heard?
Right.
Didn't you read this?
Right.
Don't you know this? But he expected people to learn the Scriptures, and we need to know the Scriptures. We need to know the Scriptures. So, you know, if the Pharisees would have sat back and read through Isaiah a few times
mm-hmm.
as this sort of early part of the kingdom was unfolding, they might have sat back and said, wow, this is what's going on here. But that didn't happen.
No.
Why don't you read chapter 40, verse 5? Chapter 40 of Isaiah is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. You should read just verse 5.
Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Ooh. Wow. So the glory is going to be revealed. All flesh is going to see it. It's not going to be like, well, some people are going to see it. All flesh are going to see it. Now, remember, this is at a time, Isaiah's writing to covenant people, obviously. If you would have been a pagan Gentile in Isaiah's time, you wouldn't have said, gee, I wonder what Isaiah's going to write about next. I'm going to go check that out, because you wouldn't have had a clue who he was.
You wouldn't have been interested in going to his website?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I wouldn't have cared about major prophets. I would have just been happy, you know, worshiping Mercury and Venus and, you know, doing the pagan stuff, but like my ancestors were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it says all flesh shall see it together. Mm. Together. It's all flesh, not some flesh. All flesh, Jew and Gentile, Peruvians and Swedes. I mean, all flesh is going to see the glory. And, you know, here, this is referring again to the Messiah.
Mm.
Because mm-hmm. in this part of Isaiah, and we don't have time to read the whole passage, this is right after Isaiah goes through the thing about preparing the way for the Lord.
Right.
Preparing the way for the Lord. Preparing the way for Messiah. John the Baptist uses this. You know, John the Baptist quotes from Isaiah a lot, because I think Isaiah was his favorite major prophet too. But he's quotes from Isaiah a lot to say, you know, make straight the way of the Lord and, you know, all those things, and the hills will be lowered and the valleys will be filled, and, you know, all these poetic things that Messiah's coming. And then when Messiah does come, people there see the glory in terms of the signs and wonders, the miracles that he does. You know, all the flesh that was around saw miracles being done. It wasn't just Jews. There were some Greeks. There were some Samaritans. There were some Romans. There were a mixture of people. So this would count as all flesh. see the miracles that he does and see this glory. And then it says, you know, the mouth of the Lord has spoken this. So this is his word with a capital W. You know, his word has said it. So therefore, it's going to be done. You know, his word stands forever. His word is ever going to be true. And so when he says, my word has spoken this, the Lord has spoken this, the mouth of the Lord has spoken this, that means that the Lord's word has said, all flesh is going to see this glory. So therefore, that's what's going to happen.
Amen.
Woo.
Amen. You know, as I was looking back at a couple of the previous verses before that, you know, a voice proclaims in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the wasteland a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain shall be made low. The rugged land shall be a plain, the rough country a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And before that it says, speak to the heart of Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her service has ended and her guilt is expiated. Her exile is ended.
Whoa.
And her guilt is no more.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, woo. So this passage, as we look at it, is, you know, the announcement that Jesus is going to come, the Messiah is going to come, and all nations, the glory of God shall be revealed. And what happened at the birth of Jesus? You know, shepherds were in the field and they heard, you know, the angels praising God, and they came and witnessed it.
Yep.
You know,
the glory was all around.
And Jesus is God's glory revealed.
Yes.
You know, so not just at his birth, but also at his death and resurrection.
Yeah.
You know, the glory of God is, you know, revealed in the resurrection of Christ.
Yeah.
And the glory of God is revealed in the descent of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And, you know, the empowering of the apostles to go and proclaim to all the nations what Jesus had taught them.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, Jesus told them, don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't worry about any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Just go out.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit's going to be your guide.
Yeah.
You're going to have to give witness and testimony. Don't worry about it. Don't try and plan it beforehand, because I'll give you the words.
Mm.
The Spirit will give you the words that nobody will refute.
Yeah. And that's a great passage you read there. And, you know, it talks about how sin is expiated, or her guilt is no more.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he dies even for our guilt.
Yeah.
And it's talking about Jerusalem, but it actually goes, as we're talking about, for the whole kingdom, because all flesh is going to see this.
Yeah.
You know, even the day of the crucifixion, many people other than Jews saw what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had the thing, the charges written on the cross in Latin and in Greek and in Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody who walked by could read what was going on.
Right.
And so this is something that's going to be seen by everybody. It's going to stand forever, and it's going to take away guilt.
Right.
Even guilt.
Yeah.
You know, so when you come to the cross with your sin and you repent, now if you spend the rest of your life feeling guilty about that, you're not doing right. You're not supposed to. He took away even the guilt.
You're missing a part of it.
Now, guilt is different than remorse and repentance. You should feel bad about what you've done, and you should repent of it.
Right.
But to carry around guilt for something you've been forgiven for isn't right. He takes away even the guilt.
Yeah.
And, That's hard for us to figure out.
You know, it really is, because we want to, I think there's a part of us as human beings who want to be sure.
Yeah.
Has God really forgiven me?
Yeah. Maybe I better tell him again.
Yeah.
Maybe I better tell him again.
Maybe he
forgot from last week.
Yeah. And, you know, if we fall into that trap, we miss the whole point of our salvation in Jesus Christ. And that is that he's freed us from that burden.
Yeah, exactly.
And
that's the power of the cross. You know, the cross is the centerpiece of all of salvation. And, wow, we're coming to another break.
I hear a violin.
Woo. We're going to listen to another Paul Wilbur song.
Is this Marty Goetz?
No, this is Paul Wilbur.
Oh,
remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. Sorry, Paul and Marty. We'll be back in just a minute.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Another awesome song.
Paul Wilbur.
Friday, October 10th, Tikvat Israel, 7 p.m. Saturday morning, Tikvat Israel, 10:30 a.m. Saturday night, 7, way down in Lancaster. I don't think anybody can hear us down there.
Is that a suburb of Steubenville?
No.
Oh, Columbus.
It's about 30 miles east of Columbus. And then Saturday morning at Grace Point Church in Lakewood with Pastor Mike Bartolone. And that might be a good place for people in the Cleveland area to, on the west side especially, to go to.
West side. Cleveland, Sandusky, Toledo, anybody.
That will be 10 a.m. on Sunday.
Anybody west of that area, like Detroit.
Yeah, and then for those of you sort of in between, it'll be Sunday night at River Church in Akron. So...
we have traveled far and wide to go and see Paul.
Far and wide. Yeah. Anytime he's within 500 miles of here, I'm on the way. And he says even sometimes farther. But anyway, let's get back to Isaiah.
Your favorite major prophet?
Yes, because Isaiah is like waiting for us to go on here.
Yes.
But,
it's like, come on, guys.
Let's go to chapter 45. This is really cool. Steve, why don't you read verse 22? Let's see, 22 to 25.
22 to 25. Turn to me and be safe, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, there is no other. By myself I swear, uttering my just decree, a word that will not return, to me every knee shall bend, to me every tongue shall swear, saying, only in the Lord are just deeds and power. Before him in shame shall come all who vent their anger against him. In the Lord, all the descendants of Israel shall have vindication and glory.
Ooh, that's awesome. So, all the ends of the earth, he says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. All the ends of the earth are going to look to him. Gentiles, Jews, ends of the earth too would be the Jews who are in the diaspora, which means Jews who aren't living in Israel. Because he's going to be lifted up like the bronze serpent that we were talking about before. And he's sworn this by himself. Now, when God swears something by himself, you can know absolutely that this is something important and something true. You know, when we take an oath, if you're in a court of law, you swear an oath and you say, so help me God. You're swearing to God that what you're going to say is true.
Right.
You're swearing to God that what you said is absolutely fact. God can't swear to anybody higher. So he says, I swear by myself. And there are several places in scripture where that is. So he swears by himself that this word has gone out and is not going to return void. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to take an oath. And it says, in the Lord, I'm going to have righteousness and strength. In him, we're going to have righteousness and strength. And, you know, Paul talks about this in the book of Romans. You know, we have very little righteousness of our own. Mm-hmm. And now a righteousness apart from the law has been revealed that comes from God, Romans chapter 3, 19 to 21. So that we as Gentiles who didn't have the law because we were on one side of the wall of partition and the Jews were on the other side of the wall of partition. Now the walls come down because of what he did in his flesh, and our righteousness and justification is in him. Mm-hmm. And he has sworn this by himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. You know, prior to what I just read, let's see. You know, it says, for thus says the Lord, the creator of the heavens, who is God, the designer and maker of the earth, who established it. Not as an empty waste did he create it, but designing it to be lived in. Mm. I am the Lord and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret from some place in the land of darkness. I have not said to the descendants of Jacob, look for me in an empty waste. I, the Lord, promise justice. I declare what is right. Come and assemble, gather together, you fugitives from among the nations. They are without knowledge who bear wooden idols and pray to gods that cannot save. You know, so those, you know, the Gentiles that were in idol worship, God calls them to come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really just amazing, overwhelmingly amazing, mm-hmm. how God's plan of salvation just encompasses all of creation. You know, we think of it as, you know, our salvation for mankind, you know, male and female, but all of creation. You know, you think back to the garden. It was peace. There wasn't this discord on the earth, and this this drawing all people to know him and to serve him through his son is one of the greatest, it's the greatest gift that we could ever receive. And it's simply there to receive. You know, I can't make God love me any more than he already does.
Mm-hmm.
He might not be happy with what I do if I sin.
Right.
But he still, that doesn't mean he doesn't love me.
Right.
You know, and I think sometimes we think that, well, if I do this and I do that, then that person's going to love me. And that's not really love at all. You know, that's love. That's conditional, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But God's love is not based on condition because he created us. And he sees us as he created us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants us to be with him in that relationship for all of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Just earlier this week, I heard Dr. Tony Evans, who some of you may know and listen to, is really a great preacher. But he made the comparison about how when you're a caterpillar, you don't see yourself as the butterfly. But everyone knows what happens when a caterpillar, who's this kind of, you know, ugly thing, you know, sort of ugly, you know, wraps itself up in this ugly cocoon.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what we are. And then all of a sudden, the butterfly comes out, and there's this beautiful flying thing with beautiful wings.
Yeah.
And this is how God sees us in our final perfection.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, in the book, The Song of Songs, the groom says to the bride, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. Yeah. You're the fairest one. And she says, no, I'm a mess. Mm-hmm. He goes, oh, no, you're beautiful. Because she's seeing herself as a mess,
mm-hmm.
and he's seeing her as beautiful. You know, he's the church is the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
And like I said before in Ephesians 5, it says the church is presented as a pure and spotless bride. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't know too many people that are pure and spotless.
Right.
I mean, we're all pretty much of a mess. We're all in the church and we're all kind of a mess, mm-hmm. but we're going to be presented as a pure and spotless bride.
Yeah.
For all these reasons that we just mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's the blood of Jesus that makes us pure and spotless, you know, because we're washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and so as we, you know, as we talk about some of the prophecies here from Isaiah, if you look at Isaiah 49, it says, "Listen, O coastlands, to me; awake and heed, you peoples from afar." You know, a lot of Isaiah is calling the nations. You know, as you said, the nations are going to be drawn into this,
mm-hmm.
and God's going to call them.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaiah is prophesying
yeah.
about this. What? 700
years before Christ.
Years before Christ.
Yeah.
And he's speaking to the Israelites.
Yep.
You know.
That's right.
As you said, the Gentiles weren't going to synagogue and hearing this.
No, and they weren't reading Isaiah.
Isaiah probably wouldn't, you know. I wonder how long it took for Isaiah to get into the scroll into the synagogues.
Well, I can't believe the show's over already.
I know.
We're going to have to do some more Isaiah stuff
yeah.
next week. Well, anyway. Hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that the Spirit of God would enlighten your heart and your mind to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who is Savior and Lord of all. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.